This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
WSMI FM 106 1027 on your Tuesday morning. Terry Toad in with you. It's good to have you along, and we are very pleased to have as guests in Studio A with us here, Dale Bishop and Ben Bishop. And coming up this Saturday, of course, we're going to have the celebration of life for Dr. Walter Chick Bishop. Everybody called him Chick, but I like to call him Doctor once in a while, just to kind of get his goat a little bit, you know. But that's coming up on Saturday, and Dale, just give us some details about when it's going to be, where it's going to be, because it's been a while since your father's passed away.
He passed away November 7th, and per his wishes, we did not have any services. People couldn't believe it. My mom asked for a celebration of life. She said, I need a couple of months. And I said, Mom, we can't expect people literally from all over the country who says they'll be there to travel in January or February. So we went and looked at the community center and in April, and there were two dates available, April 7th and April 14th. I immediately said, we can't do April 7th. That's a Terry Tote fundraiser. and we're not going to go up against that in any way and hurt Terry. By the way, you know, we were part of that, and what a wonderful night, Terry. You know, we were happy to be part of the silent auction and helping, and Dad was there in spirit too.
Yeah.
But anyway, it will be Saturday, April 14th, this coming Saturday, from 1 till 7 p.m.
1 till 7. You think 7 o'clock.
Well, they said they don't care if we get out of there at 10.
Okay.
And there will be a flag ceremony, you know, for the military at 2 o'clock.
Okay. That's terrific. You're expecting people literally from all across the country and maybe from around the world.
Well, I don't know about around the world, but definitely we've got people that say, just give us a date. You know, his grasp wasn't near as far as his reach, and he had a tremendous reach, as we're finding out, which we knew, but he did a lot of things that most people around here didn't even know that he did, because they weren't done around here.
Yeah. Ben, it's good to see you, my friend. And I know that this is still kind of a tough thing to talk about, isn't it?
It sure is, Terry. You know, about 3 weeks it took me to just be able to really function again after his passing. Dad was never afraid to die. Yeah. And he always told us that he wasn't. And he's given us a lot of things we can stand up for, a lot of values to live by. And I just feel privileged to be his son.
And I was in the hospital at the time, and I was just absolutely crushed when I got the word.
He would literally ask me every 2 days whether we were at Siteman Cancer Center for the leukemia that he had, or back here at Litchfield. He'd say, Dale, how's Terry?
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, tell him to get better, because we're going to go out and have pizza again, which he loved doing with you, what, 3-4 times a year?
Oh, we would just... We turned out to be quite the spectacle when we showed up in the pizza joint, you know, because here we'd be discussing whatever we wanted to discuss, and we didn't care if anybody heard us, you know, and people would be kind of looking around going, oh, what are these guys talking about, you know, and they'd think that we were arguing, but we really weren't. We were just discussing, and the one thing I absolutely loved about your dad was the fact that, number one, he was a gentle soul. He really was. And he understood people. And you could... knowledgeably converse with him on any subject. I mean, we talked about sports, we talked about politics, we talked about religion, we talked about the West, we talked about any number of subjects, and you could intelligently talk and... Have a great conversation with your dad, and I just miss those opportunities, and just because it was absolutely wonderful.
Because of his reach in the education field, all it would take was one phone call. If a coach needed a job, if a principal, if a superintendent, as you know, as far as the Hall of Fame, you know, for the Illinois High School, he was always up to helping whoever he could.
I was just recounting this past week, knowing that the celebration was coming up this weekend, I said, hey, you guys don't realize it, but when I got into the Basketball Coaches Hall of Fame, your dad paid to have a limousine come to my house and pick up my family and take me to the gardens.
I remember
something I will never, ever, ever forget.
I remember you showing up in a limousine, but yeah. I didn't know he paid for it.
He paid for it. He did.
And that was a wonderful night at the gardens.
That was a great night at the gardens, and you know, he was. First off, I think we have to start as an educator. And if you could explain to him, I mean, he started out as a teacher, but he didn't last long as a teacher because he went up the ladder.
His first year of teaching was in Raymond, and it was like 58, 59, yeah. Somewhere right in there.
And I think he taught with Bob Webb, who ended up being the president of Lakeland Community College, where I went. And Bob was the president there when I went to Lakeland in the mid-70s.
Then he came back to Litchfield.
Yeah.
And was the principal at Russell School when Russell School back then was also the junior high building, and a tornado hit it while he was principal. So his name's on a plaque there when they rebuilt Russell School. He was a principal. But he was principal for, 8-9 years or so?
Yeah.
And I run across people all the time that they told me that they had dad as a teacher. He was a principal and teacher at Russell School, and I ask every one of them, what was he like? And I've had everyone but one who hated school tell me he's the best teacher I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
We look forward to coming to school. He was very strict. If a boy wasn't wearing a belt, he'd send him home to put a belt on.
Yeah.
You know?
But gig line straight, you know.
Well, he expected a lot because he knew that the world would expect a lot from these students. So he was a straight shooter.
And then at 29 years of age, he became the youngest county superintendent of schools in the nation. I believe is still the youngest ever. You know, the voters voted him to be the superintendent of schools.
And what sort of things were involved in that job as superintendent, the county superintendent of schools?
I know he was all over the place with meetings. He would meet with a lot of the local superintendents and principals, and I don't know, there were some people who didn't think we needed a county superintendent, mm-hmm. you know, which ends up being regional because they combined them then, you know, later. But he ran at 29 years of age and won in 1966, one of his biggest emotional things I ever heard him talk about was his father died in September and didn't get to see him become superintendent, who was elected in November.
Yeah, yeah. And I know he interacted with school districts, with principals, with other superintendents of schools, helped out with various challenges and problems that school districts are having. You know, we know what the school districts are challenged now, but they were challenged back then as well. And you know, he had a pretty good grasp of to how to help the school districts. And if they needed some personnel, he always seemed to be able to come up with somebody to fill the bill.
Yes,
it
he
seemed
did.
Like.
You know, it didn't matter, like I say, where it was a coach, a good example. One of the early ones, Lauren Wallace, was at Litchfield. He recommended him at Nokomis.
Right.
And then Lincoln, because our uncle, his brother-in-law, was the superintendent of Lincoln.
Yeah.
And Lauren just went on and still gives Dad credit. And Lauren was home and did get to see Dad last August.
Yeah.
And everybody just can't believe it, you know, that
That's such a great story. It really, I mean, when it comes to sports fans, that's such a great story with Lauren Wallace.
And that's just when he also got Lauren's son his very first coaching job. All it took was one phone call.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Dale Bishop and Ben Bishop, and we're talking about the Celebration of Life service that's coming up this Saturday at the Community Center from noon.
One to seven.
And, of course, there's going to be a lot of people there. There's going to be a lot of tears shed. But there's going to also be some smiles. There's going to be some good stories. And Ben, that's how you have to get through this, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yeah. It's been really hard for me.
And me too.
Yeah.
Dad was really instrumental in my mental toughness and with my athletics and always doing your best and put me to a higher level of my athletics because of my father.
Yeah. But he wasn't the kind of guy that was a browbeater. He was a guy that was encouraging. Right?
Well, sure, yeah. It was I always did my best because I always wanted that encouragement.
Yeah.
Because when you weren't at your best, he would sure let you know also.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true.
But growing up in a large family, Ben being the youngest one of us, I think Ben would tell you, you know, we were all athletic. We didn't have the God-given ability to run like Ben did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we weren't bad, but the next,
Ben could fly.
The next level. The next level.
Yeah.
Ben, did we ever let up on you if we played football or anything? When Ben got against kids his own age, it wasn't even close, let alone he was so fast.
Yeah. I started playing football at 2 years old in the front yard with my brother. Some of the fiercest competition I ever faced.
Yeah. Well, that... you're not the only brother that's ever spoken about that sort of thing, I'm sure, whether it's a professional football player or any sort of professional athlete. They probably had older brothers or maybe even older sisters and sometimes that gave him some challenges. Let's talk a little bit about the great historical mind he had as far as the West and the westward expansion of the United States. This was near and dear to his heart.
Very much. I remember listening one time when Rita Fraser had him on. Mm-hmm. They were talking about, do you wish you would have grown up in a different era? Because he knew so much about the Old West and had researched it and also was a historian for the a Trail Drivers Association in Texas. I believe he's a historian for more than one group. You know, out from Texas and out west. He was on the old Western Music Board for the old Western music. He was on a board of that for a while. Got to
know. And we're not talking country Western. We're talking Western.
Exactly.
Music. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think of the ones playing around a campfire type thing. You know, a Red Steagle, let's say, who was a very good friend of Dad's.
He knew all these guys.
He did.
He knew every one of these guys.
You know, the Sons of the Pioneers, you know, where Roy Rogers started, who still sing, and is his name off the top of my head, is it Bob Nolan? I think they even had him on the air here once, you know.
Might have, yeah.
And you know, they were playing Branson for a year or something, and Dad gave a lot of awards down on the stages at Branson, for that matter, to the different ones. But he started somewhere around in 2000, started West Quest, his organization, where he ended up with a cowboy cancer crusade and raising money for the American Cancer Society. So he would have trail rides. He'd have all kinds of different events. But it wasn't – and he did have one trail ride around here. He did. But most of it was out west, and it was all to raise money for the American Cancer Society.
He also was at times a technical consultant to – documentaries, movies.
Yes.
Only because he had this wealth of knowledge that nobody else seemed to have. And the amount of input he has in many of these filmed documentaries and just other films is amazing when you sit there and think about what he's told me over the years.
And we never knew, you know, who would be at his house, for that matter. I remember getting a phone call, Dale, come up here. And I live just north of him, you know, just across the field, and a family property. And I go up here, and here's Dale Robertson.
The Dale Robertson.
The Dale Robertson, the actor of, the you know, Tales of Wells Fargo, on up to 50-some movies and all that. he got to know Dale Robertson because he's from Yukon, Oklahoma. Yukon, Oklahoma is where my brother Don was down there at Tinker Air Force Base in Oklahoma City, and Yukon is just west of it. By the way, the home of Garth Brooks, too, is Yukon. As a matter of fact, Dale, so I walk in, and here's Dale Robertson, which Dad had been with many times because Brother Don got to selling him sawdust for his horses because he had a sawmill besides being a pilot. And Dale Robertson was, you know, what the way Don told me one time was Dale Robertson considered our dad a cross between John Wayne and his long-lost brother. And he wanted all of every second of Dad's time whenever he would come to Oklahoma, and Dad would have to tell him, that I do have a son here. Yeah. You know? but he had him at a lot of the Western events, sure, along with a lot of others, you know. But a real quick story, when Dad, he said, come up here, you know, and I thought, well, whenever I'd hear that, you know.
You're wondering, what is it now?
Yeah. So I walk in, and there's Dale Robertson, which he had, I'd only seen in the pictures of the different events, and a wonderful man. He was a wonderful man. And he told me a story there in Dad's kitchen, you know, with Garth Brooks growing up in Yukon, Oklahoma, also there, the west side of Oklahoma City, had never met Dale until Garth was already a megastar in the mid-90s. And he said he finally got to meet Garth, and he said Garth's knees were knocking because Dale was the star of the town, and never. But anyway, I'll always treasure another quick one. Our older brother up in Athens, Illinois, his youngest son Brian was like 3-4 years old. We walk in to the house, and in the front room, here's Dad talking to somebody, and I said, who's Dad talking to? It was the Virginian James Drury, who had been with Dad many a times on his West Quest events, was coming through. If they came through the area, they always stopped to see Dad, and he would normally take him out to the Ariston or somewhere, and sometimes it'd make the paper. But we never knew. There was a whole vast number of them that he got to know, and they just couldn't wait to be around him.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. And the amount of detail your dad could remember concerning not only these TV shows, but the actual settlement of the West, and how horses were used, and how the cattle drives, you know, opened up the American West. He understood all this, and could put it into perspective. Most of us see a TV show and we think, oh, well, this is the cattle drive. But he explained that, you know, if it wasn't for this, the West would never have been opened up.
That's right. That's right. He was also working on, and he did not finish, a book. Was it 50? Between 50 and 100 people from Illinois who left Illinois and were a huge influence on the West.
Yeah.
Wild Bill Hickok's just one of them, you know, and he had, I'm hoping we've got all those notes. He was working on a book before and his house burnt, you know.
Yeah. You know? Well, that's another thing, the fire that wiped out
everything.
Just everything.
Everything.
And all this research that had been done. And fortunately, your dad had a great memory. But there was so much research that was lost there. We're talking with Dale and Ben Bishop, and the get-together for Chick, the visitation, the celebration of life, more correctly put, is coming up on Saturday from 1 to 7 o'clock at the Litchfield Community Center. There's going to be a ton of people there, but that's all right because Chick deserves it. And he knew
it will be a Western theme, too.
There will be a Western theme. So if you want to come up dressed up with your cowboy hat on, that's perfectly all right. There's nothing wrong with that. One thing I wanted to touch on, though, and Ben, we mentioned it briefly with you, but there were some athletic genetics going on in this family here. I mean, not just the boys, but, you know, other members of the family as well.
Well, I always wanted to to be as good as my father was in athletics. You know,
he was a pretty good ball player.
He was all conference in football at Southern, and of course he lettered in three sports and wrestling and big in shot and discus too. And I always, of course, I was gifted. Dad was super quick. He being a big man, and that's what helped him in football too as an end. But I always wanted to be as good as my father was.
And I remember him talking about his participation in the Senior Olympics. He thought that was the neatest thing going. And he competed well.
He threw the shot and discus in the, when was that? How long ago?
Oh,
was that?
Gosh, that's been a while. That's been a while.
Was that been 90s?
Yeah, back in the 90s. Yeah.
And if my brother Don would tell the story, he said he was all proud that he got first in both of them. And there's quite a few people there, but in Dad's age division, he said Dad was the only one.
So. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's true. I wasn't there.
I believe that is the truth. I believe that is the truth. And we could probably find a website that would prove that out. But I think your dad was. I remember your dad telling me that he was the only one in his age group, and he basically smoked the rest of the competition, whoever else was there. So, and he was very proud of that. So,
in college, he threw against Al Order. Al Order went and got four gold medals in a row at the Olympics. I remember being very emotional when our older brother Charles found on eBay a discus signed by Al Order, and then we presented that to Dad.
That's awesome.
And about 10, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he always he loved horses. He loved track. You know, whether it be people running on it or horses running on it, but he always, you know, loved the, you know, this time of year, we're in the first week of May, it's Kentucky Derby and starting of the Triple Crown. He just, you know, he loved horses so much, he had a big bronze horse out in front of his house, you know, let alone raised horses. We grew up. And by the way, when you live on the edge of town, and you have horses, you're popular at school.
Well, sure. Everybody wants to ride the horse.
That's right.
Are you kidding me? It's kind of like if you had a go-kart, you know? Yeah, everybody, hey, he's my best buddy. Well, he may not be your best buddy, but today he's your best buddy, you know? So, yeah, that was great. Let's talk more about the West Quest organization that he put together to raise money for cancer. What motivated him to actually put this organization together?
I believe about 2000, he was asked to do a speech in front of the Boy Scouts, I believe it was, and he was surprised. You know, the younger generation didn't have a clue who Roy Rogers was. And he decided very quickly to put together an organization that would promote the West. And out of that came all of the horses and actors and events he put together for the American Cancer Society, of raising money for the American Cancer Society. And he raised a lot of money for the American Cancer Society. It didn't hurt to have a son who's a pilot, because Don ended up being a pilot with
Southwest. Took him all over the place.
With Southwest, you know, mom and dad were able to go all over.
Yeah.
And
he loved to travel.
He loved to travel. And to him, roughing it would be, you know, out under the stars, maybe a tent. But roughing it for Mom was a Holiday Inn without a pool.
Well,
so she had to put up with it.
Well, you know, I can kind of relate to Hester's point of view there. Yes, absolutely. So, the event, the first event, apparently raised something like $77,000.
The very first West Quest event. That's right. And by the way, one of the ways he raised money was he put together a CD of. You know, Roy Rogers' son Dusty has a song on there, Paladin by Johnny Western, you know, people like that, plus a couple of the local guys that were helping him might have a song or two on there, but we are going to give away. Dad had a quite a few of those printed up because they sold them at the West Quest events. Mm-hmm. And we had quite a few of them left, too. And anybody will get one of those when they sign in Saturday. There'll be a box of them if you want one of these CDs. You know, you can have it. It's all old Western songs.
Yeah, yeah. And his fight to help the American Cancer Society was, I mean, he put his heart and soul into this thing.
And of all things, he had two daughter-in-laws, you know, come down with breast cancer.
Breast cancer, yeah.
And then his wife did, or mom. And then finally, leukemia, the bone marrow, the white blood cell count, is what finally did him in last November 7th. But he went in on September 18th, and they didn't think he would even make it to the Siteman Cancer Center because his white blood cell count was so high, like up around 100,000. It should be about 10. Mm-hmm. I actually had Dr. Eplin tell me later, the morning he passed away, he says, Dale, you know what that means? I says, I have no clue what that means.
Yeah.
He goes, that means his bone marrow was like sludge.
Yeah.
He goes, that's how people have heart attacks and strokes, and they didn't think he'd make it to St. Louis. That was September 18th. 50 days later, he finally passed after having some treatments down there and then coming back to HSHS St. Francis here.
Yeah.
The last 10 days, the medical community told us we have no idea how he's scientifically, how he's breathing.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He was a tough old guy. And our doctor, Dr. Ishmael, was
I mean that in the most highly praised way of saying it, but he was a tough old guy.
Yes, he was.
And he loved life.
He had an unbelievable threshold for pain.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that was the problem. We couldn't get him when he was needing medical care.
Oh, he wouldn't take it.
He wouldn't take it, and then he would wait too long.
And that's something we talk about when we go eat pizza. You know, well, I should be taking this, but I, you know, it kind of makes me feel this way, and I don't like feeling that way. And that's, you know, we talked about that all the time. That was kind of part of the norm. One thing that's coming up, and that I like to remind people about, and WSMI has been involved with, is the Montgomery County Baseball Tournament, which is coming up Saturday. He put that together.
He started the county tournament.
When I was a senior in high school.
When he was the county superintendent, he started the county tournaments.
And Cal Hubbard was the coach at Lincolnwood High School, won the first tournament when they played it at Hillsboro. And when Cal retired, a group of us from Lincolnwood that had known him went up to Bloomington and to a retirement party. And I'll be darned, there's a picture of your dad with his full head of hair handing the trophy to Cal Hubbard for the first county championship.
And part of the reason of that, do you know why?
Explain it.
Cal Hubbard's first job was at Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up in Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
Dad got his doctor's degree in education in the early 70s underneath Cal's dad.
Who was the state superintendent of school.
He was at Illinois State University, Ben Hubbard.
Yeah.
And Cal ended up being back up there at Normal U High, part of the high school, and did tremendous at basketball.
I think he went to Westmont first, and then he came back to Bloomington. But, yeah.
But, again, because of dad says, you need a job? I know somebody looking for a job.
And I tell you what, the amongst the largest contingent were the people from Panhandle when he retired. There was a big group of people from all those years ago that went to see Cal, and what a great guy. And, you know, just to tie in with the county tournament coming up this weekend, I always like to brag about the fact that it was your dad that put that together. And then he convinced Hayward Talley, the owner of the radio station, that you guys need to be out there broadcasting.
Well, I
love that because we broadcast that tournament every year it's been held.
I also remember at your event of when you were inducted at the gardens, you know, with the limo we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Dad mentioned something that night about there isn't another radio station in America, you know, that does what WSMI does for high school sports. And correct me if I'm wrong, but is that where the term came from?
America's high school
Director of America's High School Sports League.
It came directly from your dad.
Yeah.
I asked him, I said, can we use that? He says, oh, yeah, go ahead and use it. Use it all you want. I said, absolutely. So that's exactly where it came from. Ben, do you have a final comment? We're running out of time here. It's good to see you, and I count you you guys as dear friends and you know, kind of family, myself, and it hurts. It still hurts.
Well, I'd like to thank the community for everything they've done, far as in their sentiment and phone calls and seeing us and about how hurt they are too. So that's a big thing, and we just appreciate our community and the people here.
And he loved the community. He loved where we lived here in mid-Illinois.
He
cherished this area.
I've heard him tell several people, you know, different ones ask us, are you going to go on and do anything else? He says, no, I'm staying in Litchfield, Illinois.
Yeah. So, anyway, the Celebration of Life coming up this Saturday from 1 to 7 at the Litchfield Community Center. There'll be, well, there's usually plenty of parking. you may have to pull through a couple times to find a spot before you get a spot, but you'll be there.
Please come, and everybody's got at least one story about our dad. Please come tell us.
And the thing about your dad is the fact that the stories that we have put a smile on our face, and that's the best thing I can say about Chick. He always put a smile on my face, and I always looked forward to seeing him the next time or hearing from him. Sometimes he just call on the telephone and say, Terry, how you doing? Just haven't talked to you for a while. Let's go get pizza, you know?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So.
But I just like John Michael Marty told me a story Saturday night at your event, I look forward to hearing a lot more.
Yeah. Well, tell you what, guys, thank you for coming out. It's been a pleasure to have you in here. And again, if you stop by the Celebration of Life, you have an opportunity to get a West Quest CD of some of the music that meant a lot to your dad. And I'm sure that people who pick one up will certainly enjoy it. So, Dale Bishop, Ben Bishop, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Blessings upon your family, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks.
All right. Talking to the Bishop family. Again, that's coming up this Saturday at the Litchfield Community Center from 1 until 7 o'clock. And please stop by. Chick meant a lot to a lot of people and a lot to the community, and you can show your respects by paying him a visit this Saturday. WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. And yes, we are America's high school sports leader. It's 11 o'clock.